On the cover, our two heroes sit with their new merfolk friends on the edge of a hole blasted through the side of a spaceship. Past the heroes, through the missing wall, we see the skyline of Protean City, every building filled with citizens who know nothing of what lies sleeping deep under the sea.
Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm Alina. The rest is need to know.
I'm the Night Owl, and no dark corner is safe.
I'm Alexandra the Protector, and I will keep you safe.
I'm the Gilded Lamprey, and I definitely know what I'm doing.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Protean City Comics, issue number 84, What Sleeping Wakes. The first panel of the comic is a darkened library where a man sits in an executive chair. He's sitting and reading a book. There's a little box at the bottom of the page that explains that this is a couple weeks ago. There's a knock on the door, and we see Jonathan, who is also, there's a little editor's note that says, AKA Catapult. He is in now he's in nice slacks and his navy blazer, and he still has like a scarf around his neck, and he kind of like is rubbing his goatee, and he walks in and says, Mr. Lee, one of the students brought me some interesting information. She was doing some unauthorized extracurriculars, but I think I might have a lead on a spaceship. And Evan Lee closes the book that he was reading and looks up and says, interesting, we should retrieve it. And the next page is this full page shot of that spaceship floating, surrounded by magical energies above the water. And our next panel cuts inside, and we see all of our heroes, Alina and Sage and the Gilded Lamprey and the Protector, inside this ship, as well as Guild and Arc Flash. And the first thing that I want to know before we get along is, for our two merfolk friends, you are suddenly not in the water anymore. Can you breathe air? And also, you don't have legs or a second set of hands.
The second set of hands suddenly makes so much more sense now.
Yeah.
It's just like a eureka bulb went off. Oh, that's what they're for. I got it. The surface.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
surface.
So explain to me how you adapt to this situation and whatever, in the different ways that you both do.
What probably would go unnoticed by anyone looking at panels with Alexandra in it, because obviously there's a lot going on with them, is there are these pearls strung through their hair. Kind of looks just like ornamental, like it's done to help hold it up. But they actually pluck a few of these pearls and they press them to their gills, and it forms this almost like a mask, like one that would go on your face, except it goes over their gills, which immediately allows them to breathe breathe without water. They also grab a few more, and it's kind of amazing to watch because these small pearls suddenly take up more and more space, and they actually form like an almost like an exosuit that fits over their tail and forms like a crab, gives them all of these extra limbs that lifts them off, and they're now able to stand
yeah.
upright. Their upper torso is upright. They are at eye level with you, but they have these mechanical crab legs.
They kind of almost look like a merfolk centaur a little bit.
Yes.
Okay.
That's perhaps what was discussed. Mercentor.
And then Calliope.
The entire time that Alexandra has gone into their soldier mode, like, gotta breathe, gotta have second sets of hands, Calliope is panicking. and gasping and what is this? Like suddenly air is a thing that they didn't understand before. And so eventually when they look over and see Alejandra like standing there at the ready with their crab suit on, like, oh,
looking expectantly too, like, come on, you know what to do here.
Right. And then she's going to do her radical shapeshifting.
Okay.
And grow a second pair of hands like everyone else. Oh, no.
Is it hands?
Oh, no. Okay, but are they hands? Because she hasn't seen feet up until now.
I think this... It's going to depend on the parameters of radical shapeshifting. I assumed eventually she would realize that it's actually feet and like adjust, but for a second, one split horrifying second.
Yeah. I think that
she has a second pair of hands where her tail used to be. And then while she's like calming down, you know, and this takes place in like 3 seconds, she'll like analyze and be like, oh, that's not right. And then fix it and adjust her body until she can breathe the oxygen.
Okay.
But it is not graceful. It's not attractive. And, oh.
Very unprincess-like.
It's very Calliope, though. So I feel like Alejandra's still just, or the protector, I guess, now, is just standing there, just ready for anything. And, like, an eye twitch, maybe. Like.
Good for the eyebrow. The eyebrow. Their one expression is when it's Calliope, just the eyebrow twitch. Just, oh my god, this child.
But I eventually figure it out and grab hold of their arm. Like,
Okay. So
that's it. Sorry.
The ship is hovering right now. But the ship is hovering because you're holding it up, Sage. And somewhere behind, like while all of this transformation and exoskeletal suit thing is happening, Arc Flash is still behind you somewhere typing on this console, and she turns back and says, How long can you hold this up? The engine parts of the ship, they're not responding. So please say a long time.
Just don't talk to me. And I'm concentrating on trying to navigate it toward the school, and I'm not letting myself think about failure.
Yeah. I think it is a struggle for you to, like, you're moving the ship towards the shore, but slowly.
Oh, it's arduous.
It's taking a lot of your effort just to hold it up.
Yeah. This is the biggest thing I've ever moved, and there's people in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So definitely don't talk to me.
All right. So as the water filtered out of the spaceship, I saw the first 2 seconds of Calliope's struggle. I panicked and then left the room before I realized she can adapt. And come back bursting into the room with like a giant spacesuit filled with water.
Yeah.
And then like my lady, I have this for you. Don't worry, we can. Oh, hi.
It's heavy too. This a spacesuit full of water is heavy.
Yes.
And you're spilling water.
Yes.
I picture at that high, the suit kind of like does that droop of like your heart kind of drooped and the suit kind of just goes.
There's actually a small baby crab with human arms that kind of like crawls across the face shield. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my god. Ah.
Do you drop the suit?
Yes. Okay. And it goes sloshing all over the place.
And this little baby crab with tiny human arms it like scuttles off in one direction.
Nobody.
And Guild is like furiously looking around the ship to see if he can find anything else. He's like looking at the crystal to see if there's a problem with that. But like something is not working here. And unless Sage can keep holding this ship up forever, which she probably can't, something is going to go wrong and you're all going to fall again. And if you fall on the land, it's going to hurt more. So what are you doing? What are you doing?
Holding my breath and praying.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to ask if Calliope would be able to tell that there's something wrong with the panel that everybody's messing with, or if it just looks like a bunch of chaos.
So Arcflesh said there was something wrong with the thrusters are not responding. So there's something wrong with the computer system that is controlling this spaceship.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, yeah. So then Calliope will just ask, why aren't you using your pearls?
I left them at home. We're on an adventure. We were going to the beach. I didn't bring any jewelry.
Ugh, do I have to do everything myself? And so she's going to take one of her protector's pearls.
Offer it. Did you bring your pearls? I sure didn't. That's why I have a protector. Thank you.
And hand it out to her. And then when she doesn't take it, just be like, oh. And I want to slap it onto the computer and say the merfolk words to have it go inside and make the connections for whatever is wrong with this thing. Because obviously that's going to fix everything.
Okay. So it sounds like you're trying to use your merfolk tech to alter a human device. So yes. Which triggers one of your moves. So would you please roll plus freak?
Please work. That's real bad. That is a 5.
Okay, so on a miss, the device works, but has a completely unintended side effect that the GM will reveal when you use it.
Oh, I feel like I have a bad feeling about this.
You slap this pearl down, and you begin to do the whatever merfolk incantations or technical stuff that you need to program the proteins in this pearl to go down into the computer system and bond with it and find those connections that are still severed and reconnect it and hopefully make the ship work. And Arcflesh has no idea what you're doing. She kind of steps back and takes her hands up into the air, and she's just like, did that fix it?
Of course it did.
To Calliope, who just did this, it feels like it worked. You're pretty sure you got it. Something is a little bit weird about this technology, but you're pretty confident that this is going to work.
If there's a problem, it's not my fault.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's Calliope's slogan. If there's a problem, it's not my fault.
Arcflesh kind of looks back at the console, and she's like, it does look like we have, it looks like I can turn the engines on. Are you sure this is going to work? Because if it doesn't, we don't want to, the ship's not going to explode. I don't know what you just did with a pearl.
Figure it out, guys.
Are you good?
We're going to fall anyway.
And there's a big button that just says ignite the engines. And she's like, should I push this button? We're good?
Do I have to push it for you?
Somebody push the button.
And so she hits the...
Sage is panting and sweating.
She waits.
And Calliope's just standing there the haughty, why aren't you pushing it yet? This is your job. This
Ayandra's a little bit braced because they've seen Calliope's confidence before.
This isn't my job.
And Arcflesh kind of just looks at you standing and just all right, I guess, and slaps the screen, and you feel the engines of this ship turn on. And so suddenly, Sage, the pressure of lifting this ship is released immediately. The engines
Sage
kick.
Sage is going to collapse when that happens.
I catch you.
I think I'm going to fall.
Okay.
Because that's too much.
Alina's going to catch you?
Yes.
Of course she is.
Okay. You suddenly...
She's also going to fall down with you, actually. It's more being
it's
a trash
pad. It's just softer
pad.
Than... Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Alejandra might catch both of them.
Okay.
One, two, and they're just like, oh, okay, oh, man, they are not good at being without water, are they?
This is, you'd think that they'd be better at this with normally.
My foot hands are bad.
And so the engines kick on, the whole ship starts to thrum. It kind of wobbles a little bit as Sage releases it from the magic. It does kind of tilt to one side and then the other. There is still a big hole in the side of the ship. And there's like this like sputtering sound as the like, so there's like immediately a thrum to the whole ship as the ship vibrates, and then it cuts out for a second, and you start to fall, and right before, and like there's this like terrifying moment, like your all of your guts shoot up into your throat, and you like, as you are just falling for like what feels like minutes, but is probably only seconds, and right before the ship hits the water again, the engines kick back on, and there's like there's this big pulse of energy, and we see the outside of the ship as the engines kick back on and the water ripples all around it, and the ship lifts back up again into the air, and we see it lifts back up, and the engines this time, like after a couple more smaller little peters out or little moments where they stop working, and the ship like it moves back and forth, and eventually it like it stabilizes and stays on and hovers safely, and then we cut away and we get a panel under the water again, and we see this ripple of energy pulsing through the water, and where the big like shrimp form thing that you saw before that was kind of like, and is still maybe twitching with pain a little bit, the energy blast from the engines just hits it, and all of the dust flies up, and you can see there's motion inside of this big dust cloud, and we're gonna cut back to the spaceship.
Where Calliope says, "It's not my fault."
And from the floor, from my like semi-conscious state, I'm just going to be like, "I didn't do that. I was very careful." And I think she's going to start crying because she's really upset. And I'm already feeling guilty and insecure. Mm-hmm. And now I'm tired too. So I think I'm just going to be crying because I hurt the bed, the slug snail thing.
Okay, Alina is going to try to basically pass Sage over to Alejandra and say, "You got this, buddy?" And then she's going to run over to the console because she realizes that a spaceship kind of needs a direction to go in order to get anywhere. So she's going to try and learn how to steer.
So one thing I do want to say really quickly, Sage, you do... So when you moved the ship... There was definitely so there was that latent pain, and actually also Calliope and Alejandra, you felt that sort of like tension in your back that was the pain that the great cargo was feeling. And as the ship moved out from its shell, there was kind of like that moment of like you pulled the Band-Aid off slowly, and so it was like a little bit increased, but ultimately it wasn't bad. And as soon as the ship was out, that pain died down. And so like there's this like as the ship is being lifted up by Sage, you first for the first time in a little while feel like you just like your shoulders relax a little bit, and you can sense that the great cargo is no longer in pain.
So I knew I did a good job.
Yeah.
I did it as carefully as I could. And it still is hurt.
Yes, you did.
Well, I mean, it's not.
And I think Alejandra would reinforce that as well.
Yep.
They would kind of be holding her up. And we're like, "You made it better."
I want to go over to Sage and like go to like reach out to touch Sage's arm, and then realize she still has fins on her fingers, and like take them off, and like put like a pat. "You did very well."
"Thank you. I'm really sorry. I was so careful, and I think I hurt it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it."
"Did you build this ship?"
"No. I just found it. It was there and it was broken, and I just wanted to leave it, honestly. But they wanted to take it, and they're... You can't trust them."
Sage, what did we say about stage whispering? Everybody can still hear it.
Well, I don't really trust any of you, but you made this better.
Thanks. I think that you are comforting and supporting Sage.
Totally.
So
am I?
Yeah. Would you please roll plus mundane?
Oh, no. What if I mess everything up? Can't look at it. Oh, shit. No, that's really good. Hold on. Okay, that's a solid 8.
Okay. On a hit, they hear you. They mark potential clear condition or shift labels if they open up to you. So, Sage, do you open up to Calliope?
Oh, totally. She's royalty and pretty.
So what do you say to her? What do you say to her to open up?
I'm going to tell her, where's Guild and Arcflash? Are they close to me? Can I get away with a whisper?
I think you definitely can.
All right. I'm going to tell her a little bit about the deal, like what's going on. They work for somebody bad. And me and Alina, we're trying to infiltrate. We're sneaking. And do you get it? We don't trust them. Be careful.
We don't trust them.
And I know you don't have any reason to believe me other than I'm asking you to.
Well, and also it looks like you could crush me with your mind. So.
I won't, though. I don't. That's not my thing.
And as soon as she, like, admitted she could, inadvertently, she'd be like, Calliope, like, patted her shoulder again, like, oh, yes, we are very much on the same side. And and then, like, back away a little bit. Like, yes, this was good. Oh, what have I done?
You have that moment. Alina, what are you doing? You've headed over to where Arcflash is like, working on these controls, trying to figure out what's going on. But she is really floundering at this point. Like, engineering, like, making the ship run was her first goal, and she really was not prepared to now steer the ship.
Okay, so Alina taps Arcflash on the shoulder and says, I think I should take over now.
And she kind of looks at you really skeptically. I'm working on flying the ship. It's fine. I got this. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay. So I don't really think
we're just going to fly. Okay. I'm going to figure out how to fly. We're going to get the ship to the city. Like we talked about. And
at this point, I have been winding maybe a little bit of wire around Guild.
Oh, no. Like just around a hand?
Really, it's around his torso. He's, you know, he doesn't have, his skin isn't real sensitive there.
Okay.
And so I look at Arcflash and I say, all right, well, I have one question.
Yeah?
Do you like being the little spoon? And I throw Guild at her.
What? Wow, what?
All right, Guild is a conductor.
Yeah.
And once they make contact, they make an electromagnet, which will propel them to the side of the ship away from the console.
Okay.
Wow, Jess.
That's convoluted, but I like this. So I think you've wrapped this cable around, like probably with your mind, like you've slowly wrapped this cable around Guild, and you need to, like, touch the cable to Arcflash and get her to, like, shock it, which will trigger the, like, which will turn him into an electromagnet and, like, slam him into the nearest bulkhead of this ship, which is probably which is definitely, like, in the direction of Arcflash. So, are you angry?
I actually don't want to use that because my mundane is low.
Okay.
So I'm not going to be venting frustration.
So you're not venting frustration, but you are directly engaging a threat. So roll plus danger.
So it's 8.
Okay. So on a 7 to 9, you get to pick one.
I'm in rough shape already, so I'm just going to resist or avoid their blows.
Okay. That's fine. Arcflash constantly has these little, like, ripples of electricity all over her body that she kind of just, like, as she is controlling that internal electricity externally around her body, and you're able to time your like a physical attack so that you slap this exposed cable onto her skin as it electrifies, and the power runs, like we see it, like in a goofy comic booky way, it runs up and around him, and you see the coiled wire, and then his body kind of like heat up a little bit, and immediately he becomes an electromagnet and slams into the nearest bulkhead, taking Arcflash with him as he like pins her, and like it only lasts for a second, but they're definitely both slammed into this wall, and neither of them are super convinced that you're their friend anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah, he is so not going to date me anymore. This ship has crashed.
If only there was someone else who could step into his place and fill this strong position.
I'm batting my eyelashes through the tears at this strong creature holding me.
So they slam into the wall, and there's like a, there's a, I think that Alina, you like dodge back and like are able to like jump out of the way of this like barreling train of Guild as he hurtles towards the wall, just barely missing him, almost taking you with him. And he just like body slams Arc Flash into the wall, and the two of them kind of like have this moment where he especially like he headbutts the wall, and he kind of like staggers around, and he looks down, and he for the first time sees this like wire around his waist, and he just looks up at you, and he's like, "What the heck, Nancy? I thought, I'm so confused. I thought we were friends. Why are you guys doing this? I just, and Arc Flash is like not nearly as upset. Like she's not as upset and distraught as he is. She is just mad. And you can see that she is like you can see in her face that she is reclassifying you guys from friends to potential threats. And she is going to like you can see arcs of electricity flash between between different parts of her body, and she like tosses some electricity back and forth between her two hands, but she kind of like misses one a little bit, and it shoots off to the wall because again she's also like has a little bit of like swirls around her head, the comic book swirls around her head as they're both a little bit knocked out, and she goes to she starts to like move to position herself back towards the control console, and So Sage is being held by Alejandra. You guys are over closer to where this big side of the ship that is missing. You are the first people to see the just turmoil that is in the water underneath this ship. And you see that the water starts to like bubble and then froth. And then this just giant form lifts up out of the ocean underneath you, and it's this giant, imagine a T-Rex, but it's like 7 stories tall, and it looks a lot more like a lobster. So like if a lobster had big T-Rex legs, but each of its T-Rex legs were like shrimp. So it has like the plated shrimp bend of like armor on its giant legs, and it has two big, instead of having like small T-Rex arms, it has these big claws that are in like kind of like that, like the toys that look like that are like boxers, and you squeeze a thing and their arms punch out. It kind of looks like that. They're holding their arm like this, these claws up in front, like by their torso. And the thing is just like has thousands of tinier arms along its chest, and it's in multicolors. It's actually like very beautiful in like how weird it looks. And you can see its claws like clench and flex, and water shoots out of it, and it starts to like, it's clearly like pissed off, and it's standing so that it's now it's taller than where you are floating in this ship, and it starts to like look around, and you can see its little like tentacle or its little antenna eyes are looking around. Like it doesn't really have clear eyes, it just has a whole bunch of these like sensor tentacle things, and it's like a like kind of like the lobster things, and it's looking towards the city, and it starts to slowly plod towards the shore. There is a little editor's note that at the bottom of this big, this like full page panel of this giant T-Rexy shrimp thing that names the thing as the Mantis Rex. And then in a little smaller, like sub editor's note, it says, just go look up what a mantis shrimp looks like. It's unbelievable.
Is this like a legend? Is this some kind of lore that we could be familiar with?
There are a lot of ancient sea creatures from like you know that your civilization has been around for a long time. The merfolk are from another planet. Like they came here years ago, and so as their like alien biology started to mesh with the local fauna, they created some of these weird creatures that we've been seeing. And like there are some very like the Great Cargo is a great old magical snail thing. There are other creatures that live like this. And so I don't know that you know specifically what this is. Unless you have specifically studied these things, would that be a thing that you would have covered in a class, like in a merfolk class?
Calliope would have slept through it.
Okay.
But the protector might have picked up on some of it.
I think to the extent that they would have learned that this sort of thing is a possibility, and it's kind of like, sort of like when you like prepare for natural disasters.
Yeah.
Like, an earthquake has never hit here before. One of these great beings has never come in and attack, but they exist. It's a possibility. So you need to be prepared to know that this is a thing that could happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they just kind of like, they wouldn't know necessarily what to do with it. They would know enough to be like, sugar.
Big weird. Yeah. Definitely not supposed to be above ground. Should definitely be asleep. Yeah. Like, yeah. These things were supposed to have all settled deep underwater like a years ago. And now it's here, unfortunately, about to attack the city.
I think the only person who would hear Calliope whisper is Sage. And she would just say, not my fault.
Oh. I know. Sometimes shit just happens. We'll figure it out. We always figure it out. And I'm going to reach out and try to hold her hand.
Ooh, actually, I have a question. Everybody has team moves, and they have different triggers. One of the triggers is when you share a vulnerability or weakness with someone. Would you say that your outburst of "it's not my fault" would count as a vulnerability or weakness?
I feel like the tone definitely implied it was all her fault.
Yeah. Okay. So when you share a vulnerability or weakness with someone, they tell you what you should do to fit in. Take +1 forward if you do it, and mark potential if you do. I think that the way this comes across is like you've been used to doing this big heroing thing for a while, and so sometimes you know that like when it's your fault, you have to just like be the hero. The way you're taking this is like a how should I deal with the fact that this is totally my fault and I did this thing. So tell her what she should do to fit in more with being a hero.
We all mess up sometimes. And if this is your fault, which I'm not saying it is, we can fix it. That's what being a hero is. We just have to fix it. And we will.
I do a lot of fixing. A lot of times it's my fault. I can't do this by myself.
You don't have to. And I'm going to reach out and hold her hand. Ooh. And,
I think you are comforting and supporting her.
I'm bad at that.
So would you please roll plus mundane? So, Bree, so for mechanically, the way that works is whenever you are taking actions to fix it, to like, I guess in this case, put like make the giant shrimp thing go back into the sea, you are going to get a +1 on all your rolls.
Ooh. Cool.
Actually, well, it'll just be the first roll. The first big roll you do.
Sorry. Wait, it's mundane?
Yes.
I'm sorry. It's a 4.
Oh, no.
I'm real bad at human stuff.
Well, that's because I'm not a human.
She's not a human. So you, Sage, you put your hand out and you're doing the comforting and supporting thing. And I think that those words... They're just not quite as meaningful to Calliope, but they're not meaningful. Like she is picking up on the human things, But it doesn't, it's not enough that it mechanically is going to help her. But what does happen is, yeah, Alina, you see the three of them, like these two new people, these two new, very attractive merfolk and your best friend are like having a moment on the side of the ship. And like
I'm trying to fly it to safety.
Yeah, and you're trying to fly it to safety. You're trying to make sure the appointed don't get it, and you're fighting them all at the same time. Like you're doing this whole adventure yourself at this point. And the three of them are having like a good powwow over there. And you like for a moment it distracts you enough that you're not looking, and Arc Flash is able to like dive forward and slide under your arm and like shoulder you, and like she's able to like get one shoulder under your arm, which is like still like kind of reached out touching the console, and she like shoulders you in the chest and pushes you backwards, and she is trying to now take control of the ship. And there's a moment where you struggle and she doesn't quite have full control, and the whole ship tilts and starts to slide towards this giant shrimp T-Rex. And I think it actually slams the ship into the side of the Mantis Rex. And for the first time, it turns, it's like, it starts to, it stops trying, like, plodding forward and turns to you, or towards the ship, and starts to, like, feel out with its like, sensors. And seeing, like, clearly, like, you're not sure what it's doing, but it's clearly seeing the ship in, like, 1,000 more colors than you could possibly imagine.
It sees the future.
It doesn't quite see the future, but yeah. And you start to see, like, one of its big claws is, like, twitching a little bit. And it, like, suddenly clamps, like, the claw arm clamps down and shoots out this, like, pulsed, like fire hose of water straight at the ship. And so all of you are just hit by water. This like force of like it hits the side of the ship. There's no like there's a big chunk of the side of the ship missing. And so the whatever six of you are all like once more buffeted by this pulse of water, and the ship kind of like dips to one side and then resettles as and you're all kind of like scattered and thrown all over the floor.
I think when the water first hits, Alexander would throw themselves in front of Calliope and Sage and just kind of cover them both. And they've got a lot of legs now because, like, two is stupid. I'm sorry. Yeah. Bless y'all for, like, what your evolution decided. But foolishness, many legs, much more stable. So they're going to brace and try and protect these two in front of them as much as they
can. Okay. I would like you to roll to defend then. So that'll be plus savior.
So it's a 9.
So on a hit, you keep them safe and choose one. But on a 7 to 9, it costs you expose yourself to danger or escalate the situation. So you'll get to choose add a team to the pool, take influence over someone you protect, or clear a condition.
They don't have a condition, so that wouldn't.
So you could take influence over Sage.
You can have it.
Yeah, I think that's what they would do.
Okay, so you are...
Here's my heart.
You are going to take this, like, this blow, like, this pulse of water that hits, and you kind of move to defend your friends. And so the bulk of this water hits you in the back. And so I would like you to take a powerful blow. So you'll roll 2d6 plus conditions marked, which if you said it's none, then it's none. And you want to roll low.
6.
Okay. So that's a miss. So you get an experience. You stand strong. Mark potential is normal. And say, so how do you weather this blow? It's probably just because you have a lot of legs and you're used to the water. But what does that look like?
Yeah, strong yeah. back, a lot of
yeah.
legs.
So just describe that as you take this. Like, what is that panel of you taking this stream of water or this blast of water look like?
So they've kind of curled their tail around these two in front of them, who they have decided, like all three, they have not forgotten Alina. I just want that to be clarified. They are like in full defense mode. They just got to kind of get the two in front of them safe, and then they can get everyone else safe. but they've kind of curled around and just made themselves as big because they're quite broad in the shoulder. So they've just kind of one arm planted on either side of these two people in front of them. Their legs spread out, just braced as firmly as they can. Mm-hmm. Probably actually they would angle one shoulder to deflect the water instead of making a flat surface for it to hit against.
Okay.
Smart.
Yep. The appointed kids and Alina, you're a little bit further back, so this blast of water doesn't hit you quite as hard. But for those of you who are closer to the entrance, Alejandra stands there and is able to like protect you against this blast of water. And as the ship rights itself again, there's a lot of like mist and of the water surrounding them, and they're kind of just like looking pretty good against the silhouette, like the sun, but also still this giant shrimp monster outside is starting to turn back towards, like, I think that it's, you're sort of more on the sea side of the monster, so it's turning to look at you.
Oh, good.
Holy shit, what is that?
Yeah, Alina, you are probably seeing this for the first time.
That's a sleeping one, and we need to... And she's going to look at Alejandra like, oh, what do we need to do?
So, Alina, this is the first time you're seeing this, so if this is a thing that you would be in your books, you can trigger that move again if you would like.
Okay. Ah, 12 plus what do I roll with?
Superior. Holy crap. That's a 14?
Yeah.
Yes, girl.
You tell the team one important detail you've learned about this thing, and on a 10 plus, you also get to ask me a follow-up question, and I will answer it honestly.
Okay.
So you read in your readings about... So here's how I think this plays out. There was like one mission that the asset went on where he had, in his younger years, this is why like his merfolk information was there, but not really complete. He was like a real big cryptid hunter when he was younger. And he took a mission with Falcon to go investigate the merfolk. And I think he didn't quite find them, but he did find out some stuff about this giant shrimp monster. And so that's why you have like books on this.
Okay.
Or some information. So what is the one thing that stuck out in your mind?
The thing that stuck out most in my mind is where it keeps its essential organs.
Okay. So where does it keep its essential organs?
In its butt.
In its big tail?
Yeah.
That makes sense. Because it's kind of like a big lobster, and so its upper torso is all the muscle it needs to hold up these giant punching arms. And so it would make sense that it would keep all of its essential organs,
its heart,
lower.
And,
yeah.
Yes. In the central nervous system and all of that.
In the butt of the lobster, if you will.
Yes. In the tail. Shake your tail, fellas.
I will say that but you had a couple of drawings of this thing, like real, real rough sketches. Like, I think maybe the asset had some like sonar pictures of it that he had. Mm-hmm. So he had like sketched out the outline, but it wasn't really in detail. But everything looks pretty much like all the descriptions he had sound like this. So nothing, I'm going to say nothing really seems different. It's just not complete. So also you get to, because you rolled a 10 plus, you get to ask me one follow-up question and I will answer it honestly.
How do we make it go back to sleep?
How do you make it go back to sleep? So here's how you can make it go back to sleep. It is a big damn shrimp T-Rex. It's heavy. It's not used to being out of the water. And so every time it does one of its mantis shrimp punches or like blasts water at you, or even just standing and walking, is tiring to this thing. It has been sleeping for thousands of years because back when it was sort of more active, there was more water in the world. And there, it was, it's used to being like deeper under the water. And so it's not used to being above, like above ground like this. So if you can make it like work itself out.
Okay. Tucker it out.
Yeah. You'll get it tired.
Okay.
And all it right. It'll give up.
All right. Cool.
Tell me this.
Okay. All right.
Help.
Oh, snap. Oh, dip. No, sorry. Oh, that's a mantis rex. Oh, God. All right. Listen, everybody, we're going to have, we have a change of plans. In order to keep that thing, which is very scary and can punch the living daylights out of you, to get to shore, in order to avoid it getting to shore, we're gonna have to do some evasive maneuvering. Sage, how you feeling, honey?
I think I'm okay. And I'm gonna turn to Alejandra and be like, you should step back. And hopefully they'll move. And I'm going to charge my burn.
Okay.
I mean, listen, you have floated things in front of them and like casually mentioned that you can explode people. They have no problem respecting boundaries one, but also healthy fear.
So two things I want to do really quick. You need to roll to unleash your power, your to do your burn. I also want to do the team maneuver.
All right, I'm going to do the burn then. That's a 7, 8, 9.
Plus conditions?
Yeah, that is plus conditions. Oh, so I hold.
You mark a condition.
And right. Hold I'm going to mark.
What do you have marked right now?
Guilty and insecure. I think I'm going to mark afraid.
Okay.
But I have 3.
Okay. Cool. Cool, cool. So real quick, team mechanic, when you enter danger, when you enter battle against a dangerous foe, which you have done, and I think that now you are a team-ish, so we will add 2 to the pool, the team pool. Who is the leader? It sounds like it might be either Sage or Alina.
I would defer to Alina because I don't know what I'm fighting. I'm just I'm just a weapon. I don't know what I'm doing.
I think I Alina would be playing coordinator or whatever, air traffic controller.
Okay. So do you have influence over everyone else?
No.
What is your purpose in the fight?
To put the mantis rex back to bed.
Okay. Is that everyone else's purpose?
Oh yeah.
Sure.
Yep. So you'll get another point. Does anyone mistrust anyone else on the team?
It's just these
just the four
two
of you.
New pals, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I don't trust the other ones, but these ones I trust.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. No.
They're A-okay and, you know, strangely beautiful after you get over the fact that they have hands for legs.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Then I don't think you're really ill-prepared. I think that this whole team maneuver started because Alina actually read a book about this thing. So so you will start with 4 team plus Alina, you're the leader. So you get to add an extra team to the pool. And you get to carry +1 forward. Sage, you said you had an idea for what you were going to do. So what are you
going to
do?
I'm going to spend 2 burn and create 2 constructs of myself that look like me. I'm going to create duplicates and I'm going to send them out near the giant shrimp guy and have them circle his head and like distract him and have him like kind of move a bunch to the left and then move a bunch to the right. They're doing like the hey, look at me stuff and hopefully dizzying and tiring him out.
Okay. You spend 1 burn to create an object and then another burn to animate it.
Right.
Spend an additional burn to animate it independently
of yourself. So maybe this looks like I spent 2 to make 2.
Yeah.
Maybe I think they don't act independently of me and I'm doing all the stupid things in the ship. I'm like, hey, look at me. No, look at me. And they're just copying me out in the world because I think that's funnier.
Okay, sure. I think that's good. I think that's pushing the move a little or the thing a little bit.
I do that.
But I like the idea. So they're gonna. I think by independently from you, it means the difference between like you make a sword which you have to use versus you make a dog which moves by itself. But I like the idea that these are just like mirror images and they only do what you do. And you kind of like...
So I'm acting a fool.
As the ship drops, like as the ship is moving around the dinosaur shrimp thing, you drop off these couple doubles. And then as you are moving in the ship, they are doing that, but floating.
Yeah, okay. So I'm like, look at me, sucker. No, check over here. And then I'm going to like just try to distract and exhaust it.
Okay. So I would like you to roll to... unleash your powers you spent the burn to create these obstacles, but now to make them distracting in a way that it starts to move in one direction, then it turns to face the other and moves that way, and like
for it to work,
do the thing. Yeah.
So it's a six. Anybody want to help me with some team?
Alina can definitely I'm gonna spend one team so that I can use my telekinesis to reach out and animate one of the constructs.
Okay. So it's flying around a little bit differently. Excellent. Yes. So then that hits a...
seven.
Yeah. So on a hit, you do it. And on a 7 to 9, mark a condition or the GM will tell you how the effect is unstable or temporary.
Unstable or temporary. I'm afraid to mark any more conditions.
Okay. So let's see. So
be nice.
I think that what happens is it starts to follow the first sage image, and then as Alina reaches out and grabs the other one mentally and starts to like maneuver it around in a little bit more of an aggressive way, it slowly turns back around, and with this like pistol fast punch, it like faster than you think it should be able to, reaches out a claw and grabs this construct and just like completely crushes it, and like the image dissipates rapidly in a way that is like it can tell that it was distracted and it worked itself out a little bit, but like now it knows that this is not like it's not a real thing. There was nothing there to grab, and so it's going to be less distracted by the other one.
Damn.
But it is definitely, it is now like spun around a little bit too.
Okay. So one of my powers is density control.
Okay.
Right. So if I made the water and sand at its feet super tough to get through all of a sudden, it would be struggling against its own legs. Would it tire itself out?
Yeah.
Too?
Yeah. So I think I would also like you to roll to unleash your powers.
Can I just do it? Okay. Thank you.
Normally you would. If you were trying to like push a school of fish away, yes, I would just let you do it. But you're trying to change the density of a large body of water.
Look, I'm going to try my best and hopefully it'll be good enough. Okay, so that's an 8.
Okay.
I rolled a 6 and a 1.
Okay.
I'm going to send the construct with my last burn to grab. I'm going to grab one of its weird eye things and pull on it.
What kind of weapons are on this ship? Something to maybe hurt the butt a little bit.
What were you thinking? What were you what are you imagining?
Really, I mean, I was just thinking of like trying to buzz by the tail and like throwing stuff at it.
I think it has pretty thick armor though.
Yeah, that was why I was asking for weapons.
To be fair, if Alina found something, even like a like a rod.
Yeah.
Alejandra can grab hold of it and charge it with their electricity.
Okay. That works.
Yes, that.
And throw an electrically charged.
So I think that honestly, if that's what you want to do, then Alina doesn't need to help. You can help. And you'll find
I think it would be Alina would be the one to put the idea out, and then Alejandra would be.
I can just throw the rod out as sort of like a helpless, like just I'm doing whatever I can, and then you
cool.
You supercharge it.
And so so really like all four of you or all three of you are helping, but we only really need to get up to 10. So mechanically, we'll spend two team. And so now you're at a 10 to unleash your powers to reshape your environment to make this thing to make the density of the water, I guess, more dense. On hit, you do it, and so it's like struggling So I guess, okay, let's do this. Explain for me what this visually looks like. As you, like, how are you controlling the water? Is it magic? Are you throwing a bead down there? What are you doing? How does this visually look? Your control of the density.
So, I feel like it is something that happens inside of her chest, like it's like pulsing.
Okay.
And underwater, she would do like this cool moves with her arms to follow the pulsing, so it would like look really cool, but above the water, it looks super dumb.
Okay.
She's used to having resistance, so yeah. It's all like jerkety.
It's more and like, and she's more like, well, flailing.
But it's like a something in her lamprey heart.
Okay.
That is allows her to like reach out and then do this with the water. So she's going to start to try to do it. And it's, oh, this is not working, but it is working because
yeah, and it, you just
she
you
just looks a fool.
You just need a little bit more time to kind of like dial it in, and that's what Sage animating her other like duplicate image and like grabbing its eye stalk, and it's like struggling a little bit, and then Alina and Alejandra do this like tag team. They rip a piece of metal, or like Alina grabs a piece of like a big pole of metal that was like inside a storage cabinet or something. Like it was a piece of something that was in the ship, and throws it to them, and they like electrocharge it, and like just, like throw this electric spear kind of at the butt portion of the Mantis Rex enough to like then it's as the water around like, and sand around its feet are thickening and becoming more dense. It's trying to like turn to swat this thing out of it off of its eye, and then like it's trying to like look back at its butt and see what just hit it, and it's just really, you can tell that it's tiring itself out, and this thing is just like not really designed to be above ground, and it takes like two more steps, slow trudging, and they're tiring you out just watching this thing trudge through the water, and it just kind of like flops forward into the water, and like you know roughly where the like ledge is where it dips down into the deeper water, and it like there's this big splash up as this like 7 to 10 story foot lobster shrimp collapses down into the water and goes back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you doing? You do still have two members of the Appointed on the ship, and they are now recovering. Like, this all happened very fast. They're going to, if you don't do something quick, they're going to act to try to take this ship. And if you want to prevent them from doing that, now's the time to act.
Where are they?
They are kind of over by the console, honestly. They were back over in that area when they got slammed into the wall together. So there's kind of like, if the ship is like a big circle, there's like a center thing in the middle with where the crystal is, and on the far side from where you, like you're over on one side by the big gap, and on the far opposite side there's like the row of consoles around the edge of the ship that is like where they have control screens, and that's where they are. They're over towards that side, and it's just, I think that's where Alina was.
Mm-hmm. And then we had to
giant monster attack.
Yes. I think Alina's going to try to climb back and pilot again.
Okay.
And maybe say, well, I guess just try and pilot and see if they're going to try and start something.
Yeah, I mean.
Certainly Alejandra would move over to
beside
stand.
Her.
Yes, facing them.
Okay.
Arms folded, spine sticking out.
Okay, so yeah, I think that they like step, so they, as they're getting up and as Alina steps forward to this console to try to fly this ship, they sort of stand up and like are in like kind of a fighting stance, and as soon as Alejandra steps forward, they see them and all their spines and terrifying sea warriorness, and even Guild, who like is ostensibly like you'd have a hard time puncturing his metal skin, kind of like steps back and he's like, all right, I think what's going on here? I don't want to. You're cool. We don't have to fight.
Silence.
They both turn and look at you.
No, that was all just silence.
She's
nothing.
She just said it. She threw up her hand because she's like leaning against one of these walls. Like, that was a lot that just happened, and you need to shut up. But she doesn't say anything. So like, she got all their attention. And then she's gonna pretend like it was on purpose, and then.
So, Alina's grabbing her aviators in her mind, you know, her mind aviators, and putting them on, and she's gonna say, I'm gonna try and find this thing a soft place to land. She charts a course to fly over the Protean City Inflatables Museum, or it's the Protean City Museum for Yard Inflatables.
Can it just be
this one?
It's an inflatable castle, like superstore.
Yes.
Oh my god!
And so they have a big yard where you can see them all. Like, it's a big parking lot. It's like a really weird thing to have in the middle of a city, but like, I believe you.
I feel like it's a place you would take a first date if you were in middle school, and so it's very popular.
Yeah.
I kind of just center over the biggest bouncy house I can find and cut the engine.
Okay. I think the ship is smart enough that it's not going to just like, it's not going to let you just turn off the engines.
You're going to tell it to, and they're just going to be like, no.
But like, you're, and so the ship kind of like slowly comes down, maybe a little bit faster than it really should. And it just like crushes this inflatable, like three or four inflatable castles.
And like one inflatable gorilla and a couple of the guys that like stand up and wave.
But it's definitely down. And there's like there's a hard thump. And then there you are on the ground, landed. And Guild kind of looks around, and an arc flash says, all right, great. We landed here in this parking lot. I thought we were going to the school, the university.
I didn't.
Well, plans changed.
Okay. I don't. Okay, if it's gonna
we
be,
we can call the university to come pick this up. It's not like it's the first thing that has just popped out of nowhere around here.
And Guild is gonna look back at Sage and say, and letting the appointed have the ship is not in the picture. Like you're totally opposed to that for some reason.
Right now, yeah, I don't think it's fair to give it to a private institution when we don't know what it is, where it came from. I think we should give it to an authority that we trust. And we've dealt with the university so many times, and they've saved the city a number of times. I think it should go there.
I would like you to roll to provoke someone.
Bad. Four.
Four.
Oh, no.
Guild is going to start to like take a step forward towards you. And he's like, I think if you would let me explain, I think that you understand. And Arc Flash kind of like puts an arm on his or puts a hand on his arm, and it's just like they're not gonna listen. It's just not gonna work. Marcus, come on, let's go. We'll find another, we'll figure something out. I think, and she's looking around and seeing that there's like four of you now, really, like, and the four of you have unified as a, like when it was like a group of two and a group of two and a group of two, she was willing to fight. But now that it's really like them and then the four of you, she's like, it's not going to work. Marcus, let's just get out of here, before, we'll figure it out. Jonathan will understand. And he kind of looks at her and they share like a moment, and he's like, all right. And they are going to leave through this big door in, or big hole in the ship. And Guild kind of like looks back and just gives you this weird, Sage, that gives you this weird look, like he's just so frustrated and doesn't understand.
I'm going to give him like a half smile and like an I'm sorry, but sorry, this is what I have to do. And I'm going to turn to the merfolk and be like, do you need help? Do you want to stay? What can we do to help you?
I have a friend with a helicopter. Alina just bursts out with that because now that there's no mission, she realizes that, again, she's in a spaceship with some very hot folks.
Let's also remember, too, that they don't know what a helicopter is. Also, their first experience on land is of an inflatable...
That's it.
That's a museum. This is the world.
So I think they're going to look at each other, this merfolk look, and then Calliope will say to Alina, congratulations. And then just kind of look around, like peek out of the spaceship, give Alejandra a look that they know very well.
They know.
I don't think we can leave yet.
You turn to the last page of comics and find a page of letters to the editor. Do you have questions or comments? Send your letters in written or short audio format to letters@protean.city. We'll publish a few each issue with a response from our editors. Last issue, I answered a question about what Pride events look like in Protean City. I got feedback in the conversations I've had over the last week, and I wanted to follow up. I answered the question from the point of view of James, the editor of Protean City Comics, the comic book company, and I felt like it fell a little flat. I wanted to answer the question again, this time as James, the producer of Protean City Comics, the podcast, because I owe you all a better answer. Pride is celebrated differently in every city in our world, and the same is true for Protean City. Our story is one framed by generations of heroes that change over time. And with them, Pride has also changed. LGBT heroes of the Silver Age protested alongside activists. Their masks hid, but did not change who they were. When there were riots, they stood together. During the Bronze Age, LGBT heroes, who grew up during the first marches, showed up to Pride parades to stand firmly between the celebrations and anyone who would try to stop them. Modern era heroes celebrate Pride in many ways. Some partake in citywide celebrations, while others prefer working with local organizations to hold Pride events that are free from corporations and governments. This is a topic that really demands more time than I can give it in a letters to the editor page, but I guarantee you it's something we're going to return to in more detail in future episodes of the podcast.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter at @AndTheMeltdowns. Arcana is played by Jess Benini, who can be found on Twitter at HerlockHolmes1. Night Owl is played by me, Elspeth Denman, and I can be found on Twitter at TheCatOnTheWall. Calliope is played by Bree, who can be found on Twitter at PrettyIdeal. She is the GM for the Decay of Still Cove podcast. Alejandra is played by Sarah, who can be found on Twitter at @asunnykitty. She is a variety streamer on twitch.tv as SunnyKitty. They both stream role-playing games with the It You Crew on twitch.tv/ityoucrew. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.